right, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Wub Talk. My name is Seipert. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We actually do not have any EDM news this week. I really wanted to focus on the interview with our special guest today. So here's a quick ad, and then we will hop right into the interview. All right, welcome back. I am now here with Jackal. What's up, man?
Yo.
How you doing?
Oh, so good. Chilling in the city of sin, Las Vegas. Feeling fantastic.
I love it. What's it like being an EDM artist in Las Vegas? Is it more fun or is it kind of the same?
No, I think it's like the perfect city. You know, a lot of great artists have residencies here, so I get to go hang out with them and then, you know, be in the same studios as them. And it's just a beautiful environment here. It's the, you know, a lot of people say it's the entertainment capital of the world, so.
Big facts. So where did you get your start with EDM? What got you into the genre? What got you producing? Like, what's the origin there?
Well, you know, obviously, all right. So I was growing up in Canada. I was listening to like Nirvana, like rock and stuff. And then when I was around like probably 12, 13, I don't remember the first thing that necessarily sparked it, but I do know that I was like, yo, I'm going to buy myself some turntables because I'm already have the bass and the guitar and other instruments. I just want to have another instrument. So I bought myself like a $99 controller. And that was really before I knew about EDM and stuff, but I started like going to LimeWire and typing in like rave music and like downloading rave music to DJ and stuff. And then that's kind of when I figured out about Zed and Deadmau5 and all these people so fast. And that was about like 10 years ago. So, you know, 2007, 2008.
Love that. So you're a DJ first, producer second.
Yes. Yeah. Cause I got the turntables. I was having fun DJing, but I just was like, I'm totally missing something right off the bat. I need to just kind of create the whole thing. I need to start producing.
That's dope. What DAW do you use?
Well, I primarily use Ableton, but I also mess around with Reason and even Logic, basically those three.
Okay.
And Fruity Loops too, actually.
Really?
Yep.
Dude, Fruity Loops for me is the hardest DAW to like understand, because I feel like most DAWs are fairly similar in how they work, and Fruity Loops is just like its own beast.
I started on Fruity Loops, and now I just use Fruity Loops to make visuals. Like, I make all my videos on Fruity Loops, as strange as that sounds.
Oh, no. Yeah, they have that, they have the feature where you can accompany the audio with the video, right?
Yeah, so that's what I use it for, just to make a little audio visual is what I call it.
That's sick. I love that.
A moving kind of video, yeah.
Heck yeah. When did you start producing? How long have you been producing?
Yes, so I started out like, well, you know, I think the term producing, like I kind of take it as like me being a producer. So I was producing music when I was, I think, 8 years old, because I was already creating original music, like creating these original tunes. And then when I was around 12, I was already touring, just making like, I was actually in like a church choirs and we tour like that. So then when I was like 14, that's when I was already messing on Fruity Loops, you know, kind of producing on the computer. And then that's when I kind of started to become serious. Yeah, 14. So that was, again, like, that was 8 years ago, actually.
So. Oh, heck yeah. Love that. Where'd you get your style? Who do you think inspired it? What process kind of led you to get to the sound that you have now?
Yeah, I mean, I remember I just filled my head up with a lot of music. I'm a love music, you know. So I remember going to the library and just taking a bunch of Deadmau5 records, like CDs, Bass Nectar CDs, and just as many CDs as I could really find, like EDM, even Prodigy and Chemical Brothers, like weird stuff. And I would just kind of bump all the albums, because I would have to like bike around the town and drive. So I'm like listening to all these different songs all the time, kind of getting vibes. And I kind of started producing like dubstepy experimental stuff. Then I started producing like complex strobe, electro house, and then even like just kind of like R&B kind of weird stuff. And I kind of think my influences are, yeah, Deadmau5 and Bass Nectar and, you know, even Skrillex, because he's obviously a legend. So.
Right. Yeah. I was listening to your stuff most of the day today, and you have a very wide variety of, I would say, genres of music, like not really genres, but you have a wide variety of sounds. And I love that you can maintain the same style while having all these different, or the same sound, like your unique sound, while having all these different genres.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's cool that you checked it out. I sometimes just like get kind of overwhelmed. I'm like, when I put like my radio or whatever, Jackal Radio on shuffle, I'm just jamming out to it. I'm like, holy shit. Just like next. And then, wow, I love this. Can't believe it. Then just like, there's different styles for sure. That just comes because I love to just produce. I love to keep it going. I love to switch it up. I really, really love to work with a lot of different artists. So I just get to be in the studio with different people and I really get inspired.
Yeah, that's awesome. What do you think, what was your first song that kind of popped off? What was the song that gave you the trajectory to get you where you're at now?
Well, my first official single actually had the rapper Mims on it. Like, he's like, this is why I'm hot. And then like the Move, if you want to, he's got like some big songs. I got him as a feature. So that song was pretty cool. We did like a video in Vegas and that was like my first official single. So that one was pretty cool. But then after that, I just kind of kept in working with more people. Like I started working with DJ Paul from 3-6 Mafia. We did a record. And then just so many songs. Like I would say, if I had to say one song, it's not even one song. It's an accumulation of records, honestly. At this point, I don't have like a big hitter because like I have songs that have maybe millions of places, but even those records, like it just kind of blew up on certain different platforms. It's not like every single place this one song is so huge. But I released records this year on like Firepower Records and Deadmau5's old label Play Records and a lot of cool labels. So, you know, honestly, it's just a big year for me. It's now's the time where like any day, like one song is just going to like be the one.
I love that. That's dope. I saw that you played at EDC. What was that like?
It was honestly surreal. And I still like think about that on a daily. It just makes me really meditate on the fact like, dude, you're doing this shit, bro. You're really achieving your goals and manifesting your dreams. You need to keep on going. And it just kind of inspires me personally, you know, from like a perspective of like, holy shit, I can't believe that happened. Like still.
Yeah. That's a huge, huge accomplishment.
Yeah.
What led up to you playing at EDM? Did you submit a mix or did they ask you, like, what was the process that led to you playing at EDC?
Well, I mean, honestly, I'm sure a lot of DJs are honestly wondering this all around the world. Like, yo, I want to DJ these big festivals. What do I have to do? Well, it's definitely an accumulation of factors, you know, like these people aren't going to want you to DJ if you don't have probably original music. I think EDC is like more of like the original music kind of festival. So that's obviously one factor, have original music. And then for me personally, what happened is, I just actually knew the right people, you know, so people can definitely meditate on that. It's just like, I was on tour this year. I went on like my first official Jackal tour and I went like city to city, 11 different cities, like 16 different shows. And on tour, we like met a whole bunch of people, slept at people's houses, used people's showers, like really got close to people and became friends with a lot of new people. And through that tour, I met the people who like actually have a whole entire stage at EDC and a bunch of different festivals. And basically, they just fucked with me and we fucked with each other. And we were like, yo, Jackal's going to DJ on fucking Sunday at like 11 p.m. with Poseidon back to back. Be there, be square. And it's official right after like Delta Heavy and Dirty Phonics. So that was fucking sick. And basically on Friday, I was not even at the festival. I was at home watching all the DJs on YouTube. I was like, dude, like, why the fuck am I not there? I'm so stupid. Oh, yeah. Am I allowed to swear or should I?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
Okay. Well, yeah, yeah, I was like so upset on Friday. I'm like, dude, why didn't I go? I'm so stupid. And then on Saturday, that's when I decided I'm like, I'm going. So I went with Poseidon. We like raged. It was so crazy. And then on Sunday, that was like the big day. So we got there and we were just super amped and yeah, it was really lit.
That's wild. What's it like being on tour? Like, is it just completely exhausting? Is that surreal to be, you know, playing at a different city every night? Like what's the tour experience like?
I mean, obviously it's always probably different. This one was like an RV kind of like tour where we, it was only USA. So like West Coast to East Coast, we literally went from like Los Angeles all the way to like Florida. So totally West all the way to East. And basically this specific tour was the first like Jackal big tour, you know, multi-city USA. I've done tours before, but I wasn't really the headliner. And I've hopped on tour with like even like fucking Tyga and like Machine Gun Kelly and people, but I just wasn't the main DJ. So this one was me being the main DJ, and I didn't really know what to expect. I was just trying to meditate on positivity the whole time, and I was with the homies, so I knew it was going to be really fun. Like it was me, Poseidon, Babo, and this guy named Gas Beats, and my manager Panino, and we had a driver who was an artist named AQ, and we had a hip hop artist named Big Ty Stick. And basically, we were all in one RV this whole tour, and it was exhausting. But it was so fun. Like I just kind of knew that this was my purpose, is what I had to do. I knew that I personally know right now that I have this content out there, like 200 songs on fucking Spotify and stuff. But you know, I can only do so much over the internet to promote myself. It's like I have to do a lot of stuff, hitting the ground, going to these cities and putting the product in their faces and really yelling at the top of my lungs, like, listen to me, and this is a good song. You're going to like it. And, you know, like basically after I play like four or five songs, there's one that catches someone's ear and they're like Shazam it, and they become not necessarily, they could become a super fan, but even if they just become a fan, like that's fine. Like, but it was so sick to be on tour and have these, like literally people come up to me and be like, dude, I've been a fan of you for 4 years. I've been wanting you to come to my city. I'm so excited to meet you. Let's take a picture. And like that type of experience was like, holy shit. It's wow. Like that's kind of like the reason, I guess, I want to keep doing this, you know?
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge.
But it was awesome. It was really fun.
I love that.
Spring Bass Tour.
Oh, that's dope. Yeah, I saw that you were in Scottsdale, Arizona. I'm really pissed I missed that.
Yeah, I do come to Arizona actually quite often, so I'll let you know the next time I'm there.
Yeah, hit me up next time you're here. We'll meet up.
For sure.
So what if you could go back to when you first started, what's the main thing you know now that you wish you would have known when you were starting off as an artist? And I know that's a really generic question, but more so like what do you know now about getting to where you're at now that you might have changed?
Well, I would tell myself to chill out and stop being such a crackhead and like just like literally just like be patient, because like that's I think the number one thing is just patience. Like I've always been super like ADHD mentality when it comes to marketing and promoting, and I'm so psycho. Like I'll literally send a DM to every one of my followers or like friends. And if that's 5,000 people, like I'll spend a whole week or a whole month sending individual messages, getting banned, like just doing crazy stuff, you know, like breaking the limits of what the social medias have to offer. And basically if I could go back, I would just tell myself to like, just chill out and just be patient, because you know, if anybody puts in enough effort into a craft and that, you know, like a talent, you know, if anybody puts in enough time into being a good artist, you know, your sound's probably going to get better 100%. And if you know, like, hey, my sound's going to keep getting better and I'm getting better and people are starting to like my sound, then just be patient and, you know, start asking bigger homies, like what's up, how to do it. And don't just try to like do it all yourself, because then you're going to fail for sure. And if you have bigger brothers that already failed, they'll be like, dude, just don't do that.
Right. Just learning from the people that have already experienced what you're trying to experience.
Yeah. Cause I moved here to Vegas when I was like 14, 15. So I was already DJing in Canada. I was like DJing in all, like honestly, all the nightclubs where I was from, which was Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And I moved to Vegas like 15 because my pops was here and I basically had to move in with them. I didn't want to, but Vegas was like the place, and I had some friends, like it was kind of like the signs were going there. So when I got to Vegas, I didn't really know anyone at all. So that's when I really realized like, oh dude, I have to do this all on my own.
Right. Would you say it was harder to book shows and get gigs at clubs when you moved and you didn't have as many connections, or having that resume, was it still pretty easy to book shows?
There was definitely a period of rebranding and being and just having no shows, definitely. When I first moved to Vegas, it was rebranding and like no shows for a period of time until I started doing a couple of things.
Right. Yeah. So I hear you talking a lot about meditation and science. Do you believe in the law of attraction? Is that the keywords I'm picking up on?
Oh yeah. I mean, the law of attraction is powerful. I believe in that. I mean, I don't even know if it's a thing that's like believe or not believe. I mean, it's just right. To be pretty straightforward. Like who would not believe it, you know?
Right. How do you incorporate positivity into your daily routine? Because just as a human, it's so difficult not to focus on negatives and and not to, you know, go too fast and, you know, in the words of 2 Chainz, couldn't slow down, so we had to crash it.
Yeah, big ups to 2 Chainz. But I mean, I'm such a strong believer in that. I really have been kind of on my own in Vegas for a while. I moved out when I was really young, and I kind of like haven't really been following too much religions and stuff, but I've been a strong believer of like my own path and music and positivity. So basically what I like to do every day is just make sure I'm kind of, whenever I kind of feel a little down, I like to play some good vibes music, because that's a real thing. Like music is straight a healer. So I like to play like reggae or like just chill hop, like chill hip hop, or I like to listen to a lot of stuff without music, because I don't like really people telling me what to think a lot of the times. I just like to listen to beats and let me feel. So I think music's a good healer for the mind and like depression and stuff. And, you know, it's unfortunate that, like, obviously this is a great time to be alive, the best time to be alive, but there's so many Wi-Fi waves and like waves, like Bluetooth, all these things in the air that I think increase even being sad. And your phone's not really the best positive tool too. So I think people really need to start kind of learning more, like, hey, use music to be a healer, you know, maybe look for other healers too, like diet and other stuff. And I think positivity is so important, because it's so easy to be negative. But if you just kind of, like my friends tell me all the time, Jack, dude, you got to stop being so negative. And I catch myself doing it all the time, because like, we'll be like, yeah, we're going to a show. And I'll be like, dude, it's going to be empty. Or like, I'm driving, I'm like, dude, the cops are behind me. And like, I'll just be saying stupid things, but like, it's like manifesting bad things. And it's better to just be like, yo, it's going to be packed. And like, yo, the song's going to be a hit. And like, just say little things. And even I'm a strong believer of like writing things down. So I think writing it down is even more powerful.
Do you write out all your goals?
Yeah. It's unfortunate. Like I do it too much. You know, I talk to people and they're like, you need to chill out on that and just enjoy life. But I just can't stop. I like have to write down everything so much daily.
Do you enjoy writing it down so that you can look back at it later and see how you manifested these things?
Oh yeah. Like I literally just go look back and cross things off. Like literally just because I have these notebooks, I just manifest everything and just kind of write goals and dreams and desires and to-do lists. And then like, I'll literally just go back to the beginning of the notebook and just start crossing things off and just kind of collecting all the unfinished desires and dreams and goals and creating bigger and more powerful lists. I mean, I like to do that.
That's awesome. Do you believe that happiness is a choice?
Happiness is a choice. Totally. I think so. Yeah. Because people choose to either be happy or they choose to be sad, I think.
Yeah. I mean, like, do you think that it's a like psychological decision to be happy, or do you think that it's a decision to put things in your daily life to be happy? Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, I think kind of. I mean, what do you think about that one?
So I don't know.
I've got an idea.
I think it's definitely a choice. Like there's no doubt that happiness is a choice, but I think a huge part of that is it's a choice to fill your daily life with things that can stimulate your happiness. I don't think that you can wake up and go, I'm happy, and be completely okay. Like I think that it is a choice, but I think that it's definitely a choice to wake up every day and surround yourself with people and music and things that, you know, keep you happy.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely one perspective, because actually hear your answer. I think I would say that I think it's possible to wake up and be a minimalist and have very minimal things and be totally stoked, because it's a mindset And, you know, if you believe in like the mind, body, spirit thing, then, you know, like the physical body is one element of it that has to be kind of happy in a sense and positive and healthy. The mind has to be in a good, happy place. And the spirit, like if all those things are in line, you can do it with your eyes closed out of bed. And I think it's something that people should try, is just wake up and just meditate for like 15 minutes on that today is going to be the best day of all time ever. And I usually find when I like do that every once in a while, I definitely don't do it every day, but like maybe like when I do, I just notice it usually is a pretty freaking good time.
I love that. That's awesome. How did you get your start doing shows? What was the process of you building up that network and getting into clubs and getting into small venues? Like what was the beginning of that process like for you?
Well, like I was saying earlier, like when I was 12, I was actually already touring in churches. So I kind of gained some comfortability because my parents, you know, I grew up being like Catholic or whatever, and my parents were putting me in this church and they were like, you should just perform. They need people in this band. And I was like, all right, I'm actually down, because I know like two other girls that are in the band and they were my friends. So I was like, I'm down and I can play the guitar and I'm down to sing. So we basically were like going city to city, just singing, playing songs on the guitar. And that kind of made me open up and be able to perform in front of a crowd, I'd say. And then when I was 14 and I started DJing, people around the city and my friends everything started changing. My reality started changing. And like, I kind of started manifesting bigger friends and connections where like, I would just hit them up and be like, hey, if you ever need a DJ, let me know. And I got some gigs at some nightclubs, some nice ones. And I would just spin pretty, like I must've sucked. I would love to hear my mixes back then, but I remember doing it and I was so young, and like my sister would come out and she was only 4 years older than me. So she would be like 18. And I remember basically it would just progress. And I always knew about like a press kit and to keep things collected. I think that's very important to, like, you know, you wanna, if you're DJing anywhere, you know, even if it's literally a house party, if you might want to create an event flyer for it and create some online material that says that you're DJed it, and, you know, just have everything listed, because it's good to have all your concerts of all time in a place that's accessible. You know, I use a website called Songkick and it literally has all my past concerts of all time. So if I ever need to prove myself to anyone, I could say, yo, I DJed 200 shows this year. Like, you know, and no one can say that. Not very many people at least.
Right. That's wild. Okay. Last question. It's a big one.
Oh.
Do you have a track that is unreleased that you could share with us?
Heck yeah, man. I do have one in mind.
What's it called?
This one that I want to play for you is called Radiator.
All right. This is Jackal's unreleased song called Radiator. That is heavy. I love that.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
Heck yeah. Do you have a release date set for it, or are you just kind of sitting on it right now?
That one's going to be July 19th on Dirty Snatcher Promotions, and that's pretty big label that's popping right now, so I'm excited.
Heck yeah, man. I'm excited for it to come out. Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, brother.
Yeah, respect. I really appreciate you having me. It was so much fun to just have a conversation, so.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you guys haven't already, be sure to go check out Jackal on all platforms. Give me your Instagram handle.
Yeah. You guys check me out at Official Jackal. I got a lot of festival shows coming up and a lot of city shows coming up. If you guys want me to come to your city, just hit me up. Let's make it happen. Thanks for tuning in.
Heck yeah. I love it. All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this week's episode. We will see you guys next week.
Yo, peace.